dance and say, everybody, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Village Celebration Radio Show. So glad you are with us on this Thursday, and we really appreciate you. I'm Vicki Newton. Coming up tonight, we take a look at another study about our health. How many sodas are you drinking, and what is it doing to your health? Are you going to homecoming at an HBCU? If so, you know the band is one of the highlights. We will take a look at the Jackson State Marching Band. But first, what about juvenile arrests? You would be amazed at the states that are leading the country in the number of arrests. Wisconsin at the top of the list, followed by Indiana. Tonight, we are now joined by Thomas Mitchell, who is the editor at the Milwaukee Community Journal. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. What did you think of this study that points to Wisconsin as leading the entire country in the number of juvenile arrests?
Well, it's unfortunately true. It's part of the whole overall justice system that we have here in Wisconsin, where we lead the nation in the number of incarcerated black men. I mean, it just kind of reminds you of that old Richard Pryor joke, if you want justice, just go to a jail and you'll see just us. And in Wisconsin, that's pretty much true. That's pretty much who you see in not just juvenile system, but also in the adult system as well. And we have, we seem to be cornering the market in incarceration in the nation. And part of that is the toll in, you know, prison industrial complex. Man, it's a lack of well here.
So with this study about the number of juvenile arrests, it's almost as if, and you can speak to this, the grooming, if you will, starts early for incarceration as an adult.
Yeah, it does. It starts in the public school system. And, they tabulate the number of beds that they'll need for a particular prison in accordance to how many young black men will be in the fourth grade, where it's supposed to, you know, where they really start to, I guess, work on steering young black boys in that direction. It's hard. And part of the problem is not getting the, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, not getting the proper guidance at home by the parent. Now, the parent usually is single, usually female, usually working more than one job and trying to, you know, put food on the table, clothes on their back, as well as a roof over their head. And they don't always have the proper supervision. The extended family that we depended on has somewhat disintegrated as well. The grandmother that you could depend on to watch the children to make sure that they did what they were supposed to do is no more. The grandparent is pretty much young, in the 30s or 40s, and sometimes you can't tell the grandmother from the mother if the child happened to be with both. Things within our community has broken down, and we have to fix that if we're going to fix the problem to a certain extent with the prison population that we seem to dominate.
There are just so many factors, as you said, the family, the disintegration of the family in our community. Then there is the deterioration of our schools. And when we put all of this together, there should be a call to action. Why do you think there is not more outrage? It seems like it bubbles up for a while and then it dissipates. How about a sustained campaign? And if that is the answer or part of the answer, how do you see that occurring?
I think it has to again start in the home with parents coming together, uniting, and we know what the problem is. It's just a matter of sitting down and agreeing to how we're going to approach it. I think part of the solution may be that we just maybe educate our children, independent schools, those who can't afford it and who have the means and the wherewithal to do it, homeschooling. That may be part of it. Now, some people have suggested that we create boarding schools where we take the children away from the environment that's harming them and put them in a place where they can focus on learning, where they can be groomed and trained to in the social aspects, etiquette, as how to properly dress, how to properly speak in a setting, in a business setting, or a higher education setting. Teaching our children not to work for somebody else, but to work for themselves in their own communities and help other people get jobs. So basically, once they finish that school, go back home to their communities, their neighborhoods, and create institutions that will help uplift their neighbors and their friends.
I do agree with you that the foundation...
I'm sorry?
I agree with you. The foundation is the family, but there would be, I would imagine, quite a bit of pushback if there happened to be this move toward pushing kids into boarding schools. And then the homeschooling, that's awfully difficult, too. You did say those who have the means, but you also pointed out so many families are led by single parents who are working several jobs just to keep the kids with their basic needs met. So there are no easy answers, are there?
No, there aren't. As a matter of fact, we need more than just one answer. We have to take a number of different answers and approaches and pull them together into a program that is doable, that will encompass the poor, the middle class in our community, bring them together and move it forward. We have to get political leaders who represent our community to buy into this and to champion the program that we come up with. There may be a need to break from the system and again create the system within our own community and also get to a point where we work with not only that child who will be in that particular school environment, but the family as well, so that when the child goes back, they understand, why he's there and will support him and help keep him on the straight and narrow and not be pulled by the negative aspects of the street. It's a holistic approach, I think, that we need if we're going to... slow down this pipeline or close the pipeline.
Close the pipeline.
From school to prison.
There is one program in Milwaukee that comes to mind, and I'm not sure if I'll think of the name of it, but it involves young African-American boys, and they have a graduation, I believe, and they all wore tuxedos. Do you know the program I'm referencing?
It's called We Got This.
Yes, that is it. We Got This.
Gentleman by the name of Andre Lee Ellis. What he's done is he created a garden not far from where he lives, right next door to where he lives in a lot. And he's basically taken young boys who, society, the mainstream, and even some in our community have discarded or discounted. And he has, given them a sense of structure, a sense of hope, a belief in themselves. He's boosted their self-esteem. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be participating in the second tuxedo dinner that he's putting together right now.
Fantastic.
And he's trying to get at least 500, 250 men and 250 young boys together. And to go downtown and to march from the one, get a picture taken at the one of the landmarks here, and then walk a short distance to the place where we'll have dinner. and to show that, to show the young men and the mainstream society that, you know, we are somebody, that we do have this, that we are in control of our destiny, that we can aspire and become those things that you say that we cannot. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing. I mean, this is be going on his third year next summer. But, you know, what he's done has really sparked a lot of hope and, you know, a lot of other people, you know, coming forth and helping him, or at least trying to do something similar to what he's doing in order to save our youth.
I first heard about the program from Matt Mixon, who is a leading media executive and with whom I've worked and you've worked in Milwaukee. We got this. So after this year's dinner, please come back and talk with us about it. But before we conclude, I'd like to know what you think about the sheriff in Milwaukee, who is African American and extremely conservative, and the comments he's making about African American men and women.
Yeah, he's as the saying goes, he's a piece of work. He, you know, it's hard to say. You know, we can appreciate some aspects of him, for one, being a black man and being in an elected position with the type of power that it has. And, you know, you listen to his rhetoric, and you just shake your head and say, you know, this guy, he's lost his connection to who he is, to his culture, to his skin color. And he's, a great disappointment to everybody in our community. Unfortunately, it's our community that keeps putting him back into office.
I'm wondering how that happens. He's not elected.
He plays the okey-doke. He comes in. And the community, he used to be on a radio, come on a radio show in a black radio station that was hosted by a since deceased black legislator by the name of Polly Williams, who is the mother of the parental school choice program. And mm-hmm. she had got her own radio program after she had stepped down from the state legislature. And he would go on, and she thought that he was the best thing since sliced bread. Mm. Because he was a black man in a position of power and who didn't take any mess off of anybody. And I guess she had it in her mind that sooner or later he would, you know, have his chitlin moment and realize who he was. But he comes on her radio program and, you know, says all these great, nice things about the community and his efforts as a sheriff, as a black sheriff. And we buy into it hook, line, and sinker and put him back into office. And once he's back in, he'll go over to the white conservative radio stations and talk about his own people with a venom that really is kind of scary to listen to. I've heard what he said about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Absolutely.
He couldn't be more wrong. Talking about there is no police brutality. Obviously, he spends a lot of his time under a rock if he believes that we haven't had any police brutality since the 60s. That's totally erroneous. There are people in this town who can tell you about police brutality that has continued from the 60s until today. And the most prominent is the Dontre Hamilton.
I was just thinking of him. We interviewed his mom, Maria Hamilton, right before Mother's Day and the Million Moms March. And she has become a real eloquent voice about the role of police in the murders of African American men. Mm-hmm. And David Clark, I can't imagine what she would say about him.
Well, she would say that he's been bought and paid for by white conservative elite, and she would be right. He has their support. One person had called into a radio show. I've heard this story that a white person telling him that, thank you for saying all the things I can't say because I'm white. Mm. And Clark saying them because he's black and can get away with it. To a certain extent, he's right. He can get away with it. because we in the black community will shake our heads and go, wait a minute, what is this dude doing? Why is he talking this way against his own people? But, you know, people in our community are getting wise to him. And if we can find somebody who can run against him who has the type of credentials that he has, I think our community would get behind an individual and mm-hmm. Clark would be out of office.
He's kind of on the front end of his term, right? He was elected last year.
Yes, he's on the front end. So we got about 3 years to get it right for once and get him out of office.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what he says in the meantime. He's on a roll in terms of Black Lives Matter and just the African-American community in general. The comments that he's made. This study did point out that Milwaukee is not the leading Wisconsin city in terms of juvenile arrest, but Madison, the capital city, is.
Yeah, Madison, that's town is different. It has a liberal type of leaning, but, mm-hmm. you know, I've learned over the years that not all liberals feel, you know, are, you know, what they seem to be or claim to be. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this old saying about, you know, you're a liberal until your daughter brings home a black man for dinner. Mm-hmm. Then you become a conservative. It's really hard to say. There's not too many African Americans in Madison.
Right.
There's less than there is in Milwaukee. But they still have this problem with incarceration. Of course, they also had the police shooting of the young man. It was last year. So it's, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, the problems that we as black people, particularly black men, face in this country, it doesn't make any difference what political ideology you are. You know, we're still, you know, being oppressed by a white supremacist and white privileged society that does not want to let go of power in the face of a changing demographic, and will do anything in its means to hold on to control and hold on to control of the dollars. So it's, I don't know, it's, we definitely have to get back to doing the type of things we did in the 60s and even in the 70s.
Absolutely.
And I think we also have to, as a people, come together, have that collective moment where we wake up and realize that we have to move forward together in unity, set aside the pettiness, the bickering, and the ego, and do what is best for our community.
Unity in the community. Thomas Mitchell, the editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal, we appreciate you joining us. We look forward to talking with you later about We Got This and your attendance in a tuxedo at this wonderful program.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back. back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory.
If you are just joining us, you're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show, and we are joined now by our favorite doctor, our village doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Di, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, Vicki. You're too kind with that introduction.
You know what? I hear a little congestion. Do you have a cold?
Just a little bit. We are in South Louisiana, and it's sugarcane harvesting season. So I believe just a little bit of dust that's getting in the air is affecting my sinuses. But I feel wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of sugar, there's a study that really makes some disturbing connections between soda and the condition of our hearts. Apparently, the sugar in the soda is not so good.
Well, you know, we've been battling there's been the big debate about sugar and the difference between sugar and high fructose corn syrup for years, and how much of that is contributing to obesity in the U.S. as well as heart disease and diabetes. And, you know, there have been some really solid studies that do show that too much consumption of sugar is related to obesity and heart disease.
So I thought this study really drove home that point, but perhaps what we're missing is it doesn't take a lot of soda. If I'm recalling correctly,
it really
is it maybe two sodas a day?
It doesn't take a lot. That is so true, Vicki. And, you know, most of the times we go about our daily lives not even realizing. We always associate sugar with something very sweet, mm-hmm. and don't take into account some of the hidden sugars that are already packaged in processed foods. So if we were to follow, let's say, I think the study that you sent me was from the World Health Organization. And so if we look at their recommendation, it's to consume less than 10% of your total intake, your total energy intake in sugars. And they went so far as to talk about the difference between free sugars and sugars that are found naturally in foods.
Mm.
So less than 10% would amount to, are you ready for this?
Uh-oh, it doesn't sound good.
6 teaspoons a day, which is about 25 grams of sugar.
I just had that in a slice of pound cake. Probably more.
You better believe it. People put that much in their coffee every morning.
Sure.
So if you have coffee and you put 3 teaspoons of sugar in it for your morning pick-me-up, you've already consumed half of what the World Health Organization is recommending for a daily intake.
And then if you add a soda for lunch and you have another soda with your dinner, or if you're doing like our producer is right now, having a candy bar the size of a lane of traffic, a highway, that's an awful lot of sugar.
That is correct.
And what is that doing to our hearts?
That's correct. And so what we think the sugar is doing to our hearts is that it's increasing the amount of obesity that we're seeing in U.S. adults. And we know that obesity-related deaths are usually preventable because they can lead to diabetes, to high blood pressure, to stroke and heart attack. So that's what we're thinking. We're thinking the link between obesity and sugar is really strong and is causing all of these other illnesses. But the can of soda, for example, 10 teaspoons of sugar in approximately one 12-ounce can of soda. So you're over your recommended intake.
You're almost double. I mean, already.
You're almost double.
So
that is correct.
Last week we talked about the World Health Organization study on processed foods. This week it's the study on sugar. What are we to eat?
What are we to eat? We really need to refocus and eat healthy. The sugars that you get naturally in your naturally occurring fruits and vegetables, those are fine, and they are not counted as part of the daily intake. So get your vegetables, get your fruits. Added sugars are the ones we must be very cautious about. The sugars found in candies, the sugars found in sodas, the sugars found in processed foods, those are all added. So again, I like to say this, stay on the periphery of the supermarkets. Don't go up and down the aisles. If you stay on the outside and stop and get the meats that are healthy, your lean protein, go to get your vegetables and your fruits, and then a little bit of dairy. Again, even the sugar found in milk doesn't have as much or does not have ill effects as that found in something that has added sugar. So stay on the outside, shop smart, and you'll be fine.
Just push your shopping cart around and around the outside of the grocery store.
On the outside.
Well, I don't mean that literal outside, but the outer perimeter. If you're pushing it outside the grocery store, you're going to really raise eyebrows.
That's right. If you stick with about 25 grams of sugar per day, you will get healthier, you will feel better, you will lose weight. And certainly if you indulge every now and then, that will not have detrimental effects. It's continuously indulging in, you know, processed foods and foods that are very high in sugar.
Nothing like a good old hot dog followed by a candy bar with a soda, right? That's
not going
to do you much good. Dr. Diane Marshall joining us this evening. Thank you so much. Next week, we talk about the snack drawer. What do you snack on when you are at work? That's coming up next week, Dr. Di. We look forward to seeing you.
Same here. As always, it's a joy.
More to come on the Village Celebration Radio Show.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Here's a quick tip from Hansel's Cookin' Vegan. Rev up your metabolism by increasing protein and fiber intake. Increase your daily activity by walking, running, or dancing. Read labels. Look for items with high fiber, low sodium, carbs, and sugars. Limit fast foods. Self-prepared meals help to limit fat and sodium intake. Combine these tips to avoid excessive weight gain. Get more healthy tips at Hansel'sCookinVegan.com. Change your diet to change your life.
She's been called, she's been chosen. The debut single, Chosen, by Tasha McIntosh.
I've been called, I've been chosen. I am not the same. I've
Chosen, the debut single by Tasha McIntosh. Available on all digital outlets. Go pick up this single, Chosen. It will be a blessing to you.
You got it. The Joy Network.
It's time now for the Village Verse. We're so glad you are with us in the Village for a midweek fortification of your faith. Joining us from St. Louis now is Dr. Robert Scott, who is the pastor of Central Baptist Church. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you with us today. And what is our verse for today?
The verse for today is coming from James chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, from the New King James Version, where it said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And I think that is a very interesting verse, especially in the times in which we live, as far as society is concerned, where we're inundated through the internet, through television, through radio, and just everyday interactions, with the possibility of perhaps falling and messing up as far as our lives are concerned.
So when we say temptation, that's a big word.
That is a mighty big word. And the word temptation in the Greek is has as its root word parazo, which basically means to put to the test or to go through. And so in this particular chapter, to tempt means to entice, to examine, or to try, or to prove. And I contend that there is a difference between a temptation and a test.
Mm.
I contend that temptations basically move upon those things that are just innate as far as our human desires are concerned. And the enemy knows how to tap into those desires to get us to disobey God. I contend that a test usually comes from God, and it's usually to bring out the best in us. So this is the difference. A temptation comes to bring out the worst. Mm. A test comes to bring out the best.
So
the interesting thing is that the author uses the word trial, and I contend that trial has a bifurcated understanding. It's either a test or it's a temptation.
Okay. Let me make sure I'm understanding. So a test is an invitation to act upon a weakness.
Well, I would say that, for example, let's look at the story of Job.
Okay.
Job was tested by God to see where ultimately his loyalty lied. So what happened was the enemy, the adversary, the one that we call Satan, sends an onslaught of travails upon Job's life. He lost his children. He lost his property. His friends came by, accused him of every sin in the book, but Job remained resolute as far as his faith in God and as far as his desire to please God. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't question God.
Right.
It does not mean that he did not raise concerns. It does not mean that he and God did not necessarily have an argument as far as what he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve were tempted by the snake, and they failed that temptation because they gave in to their desire to be something that God did not originally intend for them to be, mm-hmm. and that is God.
Mm-hmm. I see the difference. So you mentioned that Job questioned. Is it okay to question as we wrap up today's Village Verse? We're often told as Christians we don't question. You don't question God. We've heard that before.
Oh, that's an erroneous understanding of being in relationship with God. Mm-hmm. God is big enough to handle our questions.
Amen.
If God was not big enough to handle our questions, God could not be God.
Mm.
So it's okay to question God. Job questioned God. Jesus questioned God. And so you and I, we have the right and we have the capacity to question God, because that really demonstrates the depth of our relationship when it comes mm-hmm. to the divine.
So you can ask God why, whether it is a temptation that is recurring or a test that is ongoing.
You sure can.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I think there will be some peace in our minds for the times when maybe we do question and we wonder if we should even question.
Loves and
thank
the
you so much
crew.
For joining us.
The minutes of music, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. How are you doing? Did y'all see me on TV last night?
No.
That's because you weren't looking.
Yeah, I sure wasn't. Where were you on TV?
Well, Oprah had, she actually showed Check Your Views last night.
The
Tyler Perry, I'm sorry.
Nothing. Go ahead. Go ahead. We were just, you know, admiring your, you know, internationalness. Go ahead.
Is there a problem?
No. Everything is fine. Is that, go ahead. You said Oprah did what? Okay, go ahead.
Charging your morning.
She viewed Tyler Perry's Too Darn Hot party.
Excuse me.
Too darn hot.
Okay.
You know, when he show his seat, that's how I know that you are local.
Now, go take on the day.
Hansel Harris here. I want to invite you to listen to my radio show, Hansel's Cooking Vegan, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Central. You don't have to be a vegan to change your diet to change your life. And on my show, I'll tell you how. We'll have great nutritional guests and tips on deciphering those complicated food labels. I will also have great, easy-to-prepare recipes with bombastic flavors. Get all that and more every Saturday morning with me, Hansel Harris, on Hansel's Cooking Vegan, right here on joynetradio.com.
Hi, Jenny. Do you want to be a television star?
Why, of course, darling. I can be on my way to an Academy Award.
Yeah, just make sure you send me a ticket. You should check out Indigo.TV.
That's right. Check out Indigo.TV to act, direct, and produce your own productions.
You can broadcast to millions of people across the country. That's Indigo.TV. That's Indigo TV. Entertainment everywhere.
Are you an aspiring writer? Do you have the next big breakout novel bubbling in your brain but can't quite understand how to put pen to paper? Hi, I'm Kendra Norman, and you're invited to join the Royal Pen Network for some praise and prose every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on joynetradio.com. Avoid pitfalls and get published Wednesdays with me, Kendra Norman, on joynetradio.com.
All around the country, HBCUs are celebrating their homecoming weeks. And you know, one of the biggest highlights during homecoming is the band. The Village Celebration takes a look at the Jackson State Band.
Here the boom comes. This band, it has an outstanding history. It has accomplished quite a few magnificent feats.
Coming from Detroit, I was drum major in my high school. It is very challenging to be a drum major. You have a lot of leadership roles that you have to demonstrate. But when it's not easy for you to want to come to practice, you still have to come, you still have to be that example.
We practice for perfection. That means that we might have to go a little beyond the normal hours.
On those last counts, after Candy, make sure those horns come down very, very soon.
The students understand it, they support it, and our goal is to make sure that we don't pull away from their academic requirements. That's forever on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Sonic Boom style is one like no other. I cannot name any other university or institution that has the style that Jackson State has. We are one in a million.
So, hope you have a great time at the homecoming near you. Still ahead, are you a country music fan? If so, I know you watched the CMA Awards last night. Country music, Justin Timberlake delivered some soul to the Country Music Awards. We'll let you hear it when we return.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hello. You may know me. I kill over 200 people each year in Arkansas. I could be driving any one of the next 10 cars you see on the road. I'm the drunk driver, and I'm headed your way.
If you're hit by a drunk driver, your best protection, as always, is your safety belt. And if you're the one driving drunk, please pull over, pass the keys, and save a life.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this drunk driver who learned the hard way.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with a vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Celebration radio show. So almost everyone has a cell phone, right? I think the latest study I read indicated that about 86% of millennials own a cell phone. Can you believe that? And who doesn't keep a close eye on their phone? Serena Williams, the tennis great, says she was in a restaurant having some Chinese food with a friend, enjoying her time, and she noticed a guy kind of eyeing her cell phone. So she started watching him, you know, kind of giving him the side eye. Well, according to Serena, this guy suddenly snatched her phone and darted out the door. She followed him, chased him down the street to get her cell phone back. I mean, it has all her contacts and all those things in it. So she said when she reached the guy, she played it kind of coy. She said, "You know, did you accidentally take the wrong phone?" And he said, "Oh, gee whiz, gosh, you know, I did. It was so confusing in there. I must have grabbed the wrong phone." Okay, first of all, she gets points for just being diplomatic and very cool. And then secondly, I mean, not that we're surprised that Serena Williams could catch this guy. I mean, she is an elite athlete. But she did. Talk about a superhero. She says, always keep your things close, fight for what's right, stand for what you believe in, be a superhero, said Serena Williams. We're glad she was able to get her phone back in her possession. Speaking of superheroes, you know the Republican Party thinks it has a superhero in Ben Carson. He is at the top of all of the polls. In fact, in a couple, he is leading Donald Trump. And guess what else? Ben Carson is releasing a rap ad in a number of urban markets. Take a listen.
In 2016, and support Ben Carson for our next president to be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now. I'm very hopeful that I'm not the only one who's willing to pick up the baton of freedom. Because freedom is not free, and we must fight for it every day. Every one of us must fight for it because we're fighting for our children and the next generation.
If we want to get America back on track, we got to vote Ben Carson. A matter of fact, go out and vote.
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
Paid for in 2016. Vote and support Ben Carson for our next president to be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now. I'm very hopeful that I'm not the only one who's willing to pick up the baton of freedom, because freedom is not free, and we must fight for it every day. Every one of us must fight for it because we're fighting for our children and the next generation.
If we want to get America back on track, we got to vote Ben Carson. A matter of fact, go out and vote.
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carson America.
God bless you. This is Bishop Charles E. Williams, Covenant of Zion Cathedral Church, 3023 West 12, here in Little Rock, Arkansas, inviting you to come to an epic experience. Come and experience the glory of the Lord being revealed in the place. That's Covenant of Zion Cathedral Church, 3023 West 12, right here in Little Rock, starting each Sunday at 10 o'clock. Our prayers at 7:30. Our empowerment Sunday school at 8:30. I believe that God, at 10 o'clock, his glory shall be revealed. The praises will be coming. I'll release a word. I'll speak into your life. I'll speak that you shall live and not die. I've been through enough myself to have seen the hand of the Lord. But the Lord delivered and healed my body. I've come back with a fierceness for the body of Christ and to speak a word into people's lives. Meet me each and every Sunday, Covenant of Zion Cathedral Church, 3023 West 12. I see your future and it looks mighty good. In Jesus' name, see you at Covenant of Zion. God bless.
Hi, Jenny. Do you want to be a television star?
Why, of course, darling. I can be on my way to an Academy Award.
Yeah, just make sure you send me a ticket. You should check out Indigo.TV.
That's right. Check out Indigo.TV to act, direct, and produce your own production.
You can broadcast to millions of people across the country. That's Indigo.TV. That's Indigo TV. Entertainment everywhere.
Hello, hello. The Rachel Luckett Show will be coming to you live every first and third Wednesdays at 12 noon on joynetradio.com. The Rachel Luckett Show will touch on various areas when it comes to holistic ministry. You have nutrition, health, wealth, prosperity, businesses, and entrepreneurs, and the Word of God. Tune in to The Rachel Luckett Show, reaching the heart of others, but most of all, the heart of God.
Do you have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life, too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato, or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
Sometimes in life, things come full circle. So I started in radio. In fact, I started at a country music radio station when I was 16 in southern Arkansas. I was country when country wasn't cool. You know that song by Barbara Mandrell? You may not be a country music fan. While working at the country station, I started to like country music. I really fell in love again last night during the CMA Awards when Justin Timberlake teamed up with Chris Stapleton for this bluesy R&B rendition of a country song called Tennessee Whiskey. That's how we're closing it out tonight. You've been listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show.
One, two, three. Nashville, how you feeling tonight? Can I put a little Memphis up in here?
Dream, or just the same nightmare that keeps me away.
All right, sing
it. Songs out of pain.
Hey,
pull it loudly.
The Nashville sound meets the soul of Memphis. The CMA New Artist of the Year shares a drink with his superstar buddy from the home of the blues. Get your feet, Nashville. First, Chris Stapleton, and it's Justin Timberlake.
Spend my nights out in a barroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom and brought me back, being too far gone. Tennessee whiskey, you're as sweet strawberry wine, you're as warm as a glass of brandy. Honey, I stay strong on your love all the time. I look for love in all the same old places. Found the bottom of the bottle's always dry. There's nothing like your love to give me high.
JC Loves and the Morning Crew.
Music, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, that just leads me into my music too.
Well, here it is. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.